Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. Our number here is 508-222-1320. I know we're all very busy getting ready for the holiday. Thanksgiving is coming up and about in just a few days. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about esophageal cancer because it is one of the fastest rising cancers in the United States. And you know, in 2016, there were 16,910 newly diagnosed cases of esophageal cancer. And out of those, 15,690 will die from this disease. The fact of the matter is, American Cancer Society funds 782 cancer research grants, but only 8 are for esophageal cancer. Imagine that. So who gets this terrible disease? Well, the statistics say men over age 55 are more prone to getting this disease. But I am no expert, but I do have someone that can talk to us about this. And I have Linda Salgi from the Esophageal Cancer Research Foundation. And it was established to raise awareness, encourage early detection, and to fund research for esophageal cancer in the hope of a cure. And I am so very fortunate to find Linda, and she is here today to explain to us about her foundation. Probably we'll go over some of the signs and symptoms and the risk factors, but also I wanted to find out more about her foundation. So good morning, Linda. Thank you for joining us so early.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Listen, Linda, can you just go ahead and explain to us what your foundation is all about, and we want to learn more about this terrible disease, but how did you get involved in setting up this foundation?
Well, I became involved because I have a personal interest in it. I did lose my dad to esophageal cancer. At the time that he passed, it was very little known about it. It was the first I had heard of this type of cancer at all. And in the 15 years since he had passed, my daughter and I decided we were going to get more involved in it, tried to join a nonprofit, and we found that still nothing had changed from 15 years ago. Still very little was known about it. The funding was not being directed towards esophageal cancer, so we decided to take matters into our own hands, and we started our own charity. Mm-hmm. And that was probably, that was 2011 that we started this, so it's been about 20 years now that my dad has passed. And, sometimes if you want something done, you've got to do it yourself.
Oh, yes, I understand. Now, I've come to know you through my own experience with my nephew passing away and actually going to one of your fundraising events, and that was the Esophageal Cancer Walk. But I wanted to just back up a little bit and talk to us a little bit about the mission of the foundation. Can you give us a little overview?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, basically, we did want to raise awareness first and foremost. As I said, you were not very, esophageal cancer was not known by anyone years ago, and still now there's a great deal of people that are not aware of it, not aware of the risks, or even the chance of getting it. So that was our primary reason for starting up. And obviously, we wanted to fund research, and that was a big dream of ours. And we were able to do that last year for the first time. It won't be the last, but it was the first. And we want to promote early detection. If people feel that they're having issues, unfortunately, doctors are prone to saying, we'll take a pill or, things like that. And unfortunately, the pills just cover up the symptoms, and they may also have risks of their own. So we really do try to encourage people, if you're having problems, get an endoscopy, go to a gastroenterologist, and keep fighting. Keep going until you've got an answer for what's going on.
Well, that's very good advice. What are some of the healthcare and hospitals that you are collaborating with?
Well, we've got connected with Rutgers. We have a bunch of hospitals and foundations and research facilities reaching out to us every day. They really are hurting for funds. They really do need a lot of money, and we need to research and think out of the box because as of now, as I said, nothing's changed with esophageal cancer. The statistics have not improved. They've stayed the same. Mm-hmm. So, and you had mentioned men over 50. Unfortunately, now we are finding that younger and younger men are getting it as well, plus women. And so we really don't want anyone to take anything for granted. We want them to, it's more of the risk factors. If you feel that there's an issue, you're not in the clear just because you're young. You need to go and get tested.
No, that's well said, too. And point, my nephew passed away at 44 and was
exactly.
diagnosed at, I think, 42. But I think that men are stubborn, too, I have to say, in that regard, only because, you know, they're tough guys, so they're not going to go to the doctor for a little heartburn. You know, they'll
take
a Pepcid AC or some other thing to just kind of coat it or something like that. So,
absolutely.
I mean, there are some of those risk factors. And I was reading some of this information about this terrible disease. It's very aggressive, and it's very difficult to swallow, and that chronic heartburn. And it's just a terrible disease. And I was shocked. Were you when I just read those statistics of 275 grants from, and only 8 are being funded? I can't believe it for esophageal cancer.
Exactly, and that's why we were so frustrated ourselves. We are not a large nonprofit, but we are working with practically no overhead. So any income, you know, any donations, any charity that we receive goes directly towards our mission. And we want to try to keep it that way for as long as we can. We did give out a $25,000 grant last year, and hopefully we'll be able to do that again this coming year, if not more. I mean, I would like to fund all of them, but, you know, it's a little difficult, but we are working on that. That's our ultimate goal. We want to find a cure for this horrific cancer. And, as you mentioned, difficulty swallowing is one of the symptoms. We've also heard from some people that they had abdominal pain, chronic hiccups or chronic cough, sore throat. That's another one that's been a bit common with people that I've been talking to. That was unusual. I didn't hear that originally. And then I guess some people are having difficulty swallowing, burning sensations, that type of thing. So anything that seems unusual, we really try to stress it. You should go to the physician, and I am living proof that an endoscopy is easy, and and you can live through it, and I encourage everyone that has any kind of symptom to go ahead and do that.
Right, and it's not just, I think a lot of the risk factors, you know, we talked about this prior to this interview, it's like, it's diet, it's hereditary, but also, too, you just have to be aware of your habits, your behaviors, like alcohol, tobacco, it always does irritate the esophagus, you know, and that's chronic, and it breaks down the healthier cells and allows the cancer to come in. And it is a tough disease. It's a terrible disease, that's for sure. Getting back to the funds and everything, how do you raise your money for giving out these awards to the different medical organizations?
Well, you mentioned the walk. That is our primary fundraiser so far.
Good.
And it's been very good. Again, we keep the cost low. Everything gets donated to us. People have been very receptive to it. As a matter of fact, since there is no national for esophageal cancer, we've had many, many people from other states reach out to us and let us know that they're going to be doing a walk in their state as well. And so they take the initiative and go ahead, and we get all the proceeds, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Without the help of all these individuals, we wouldn't be here today. We also have, the holidays are coming up. People will be shopping. So on our homepage, we actually have Zazzle, and we have Amazon Smile. So if people were to do this, some of their Christmas shopping, and they were to go through those avenues, we do get a percentage of all the sales as well.
Oh, you do? That's great.
We do. Yeah, that's a wonderful thing as well. A lot of people have been very supportive in that aspect as well. Wonderful. We're grassroots, and you know, everybody out there is just being very supportive, very kind. People have had yard sales and that type of thing. And again, this is how we receive our funds. We get really no federal money whatsoever, no government funds, and we're just trudging along, but we're getting there.
Well, I was just going to ask you, have you thought about maybe branching out to forming a New England chapter?
We would like to do that. It's a great deal of work, and we need a lot of people. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because for the first time, we are trying to reach out for more volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. People, you know, I realize people have very busy schedules, and although they want to help, some of them will unfortunately have other obligations. So we have to get some volunteers, we have to get more people out there, and it does seem like it's picking up a bit more. So if we could, I would be more than happy to start a national, because with a national, we wouldn't have so much work. You know, each individual charity wouldn't have so much work. It would be all under the national. That would be very, very helpful.
Oh, yeah. I know that there are interns in marketing and public relations that are looking for internships. And I'm just thinking off the top of my head, because we hire at my position here, we hire a lot of interns too. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they are looking for a practical experience. You know, teaching them how to do this sort of thing might be an avenue. And I'll give you the information of the intern program that if you're interested, to reach out to some of the universities.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I'm
as
just
I
thinking.
Said, we'll take help anywhere we can.
Yeah, I mean, even if, yeah. I mean, fresh ideas, young ideas coming
yeah.
in, and they, I mean, they have the knowledge to the formula, I should say, and you've got the guts and the foundation, and it would be just
right.
a win-win all around. But I just think that what you're doing is so great. It seems like you're, like, when I ever read about the statistics, and it's 600% growth, it's just,
yeah.
why aren't we getting the attention of the nation? Like, federal funding should be there. The Cancer Society should be stepping up, I feel. That should
uh-huh.
be, you know, just funding this. Eight grants out of all these, it just seems so underserved. It's an underserved population.
I couldn't agree with you more, and that's what we're fighting against.
Right.
You know, it's, as I said, still, many, many people don't even know of its existence. So we do have to get the word out there. Every person we lose to this is one too many. So I couldn't agree with you more. I do believe that eventually enough will be done where it will, you know, come to the attention of these major charities, and hopefully they will take into consideration and increase their grants. But I don't want to wait too long for that. So
good point.
I hear you. We're still working. Yeah, definitely.
Right. I'm going to have to hold you right there. We're going to take a quick break. And on the flip side, be thinking about this. This is the question I want you to answer for me, is what seems to be your biggest challenge? Okay? And I'll be right back. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
From November 17th to December 15th, the Attleboro Arts Museum will exhibit Art of Celebrating, Trees, Lights, and Symbols of the Season. The exhibition will feature artful Christmas trees, wreaths, Hanukkah menorahs, and Kwanzaa kanaras created and decorated by volunteer artists. All pieces will be on display in the museum's Otmar Gallery during part of November and Community Gallery in December. The work will be raffled off to benefit museum art classes and exhibitions. If you are interested in creating an original holiday-themed piece, email office at attleboroartsmuseum.org. Are you one of the 30 million Americans who skip breakfast every day? We don't need to remind you that skipping breakfast can have a detrimental effect on your health. The Breakfast Place, located at 187 Pleasant Street, across from the Shell gas station, has been serving their customers meals made to order for over 30 years, using vegetables from local farms and cage-free eggs. Owner Casey Darconti opens the Breakfast Place every day from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. And for those on the go, all meals are available for takeout. The Beard Gallery at Wheaton College will exhibit Allison Bianco, Atlantic Time, from December 1st to February 22nd. Allison Bianco is a printmaker who mines her experiences on New England waterways to create a series of vibrant, evocative prints that speak about nostalgia. Wheaton will host a gallery opening and reception on Thursday, December 1st from 5:30 to 8 p.m. in the Haas Concourse and Lobby in the Watson Fine Arts Building. For more information about the exhibition, visit wheatoncollege.edu/gallery.
Everyone, you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine LaRoche, and on the line here we have Linda Salgi from the Salgi Esophageal Cancer Research Foundation, and we're talking about Esophageal cancer. I mean, we have to take it easy, folks, when we're eating and digesting food over the holidays, and Thanksgiving's just a little bit of ways away. So we want to make sure that you take it easy, and we're giving you some really great practical information and also to some really great information for the Salgi Esophageal Cancer Research Foundation. So, Linda, thanks again for coming in. I'm sure you're running around, too, after the show to prepare for Thanksgiving dinner yourselves. As
Absolutely.
We all are.
I am. And that was a good point you made. Everyone's going to be indulging, and far be it from me to say don't indulge, because I'll be the first one doing it. I do have a few suggestions, though. The main thing is we can't get to the point where we're uncomfortable. That's not good for the digestion, and that could have an effect on, you know, GERD and everything that ultimately may result in esophageal cancer. So enjoy yourselves. My best advice, and my family and I have been doing this for a number of years, eat what you want and then get up and go for a 10-minute walk so that you don't feel so guilty about it and help to digest.
That's a great idea. Well, before the break, I asked you, what seems to be your biggest challenge?
I suppose we have two. I would say, first and foremost, we have to change the mindset of donors. We've got so many generous people in this country, and I truly do believe that they want to do good when they donate to the major charities. I would just ask that maybe they could take into consideration giving to a smaller charity like ours, that the money will be spent directly towards the mission. If you think about it, I mean, the major charities have CEOs and many, many people employed. We have no overhead right now. And we have, our financial statements are open. Definitely, if they could change their mindset to, you know, let's try the smaller ones. Let's see if they can make a bigger impact of what we're looking for. Because, you know, sending money to a major one, I mean, obviously they do a great deal of good. But maybe if we could change the mindset of some donors saying, we'll take a chance on the smaller ones and see what they can do for us. That's probably our biggest challenge.
Right. I think that's well said, too. And I'll have you on before the holiday, the Christmas holiday, too, just so we can put a plea in. And I certainly will mention your foundation as well. But, you know, you're right, because when you donate, like I went to a fundraising event last month in October with Dana Farber, and all that funds went into their general fund, because I asked one of the girls in PR, she was there, and it was very chic in Newberry Street, and it was like, it was all about that, and I was kind of out of my element, but it was just really funny to look at all the wealth there, you know.
Exactly.
And when I kind of did a pre-interview, because that's what I do when I meet new people. I interview them. I mean, that's what I do. I'm curious by nature, you know. And so I asked her, I said, so the funds that are raised tonight are going to Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, which is awesome. So where are these funds earmarked for? And she looked at me. She said, you know, you're the first person tonight that asked me that question. And I said, well, you know, I just was curious to find out, you know, where the money is going. And so she said, well, it goes into our community outreach program. So that means, like, for outpatient services, a woman comes up to Dana-Farber, so she would be able to get counseling. After chemo, she would come downstairs, and there's a support group there. If she needed a ride, they would be, you know, transportation and different things like that. And so I said, oh, compared to back in September when my nephew's widow had a fundraising event in Walpole, Mass., and all the funds went to Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, but it went to one doctor who was known nationally for research in esophageal cancer and had made some small baby steps, but he's really determined for a cure. And I do have some clip of him that I'll play another time, but he was very determined about that. And you do need money for research, because you've got to get the federal, the National Cancer Institute aware of what you're doing in the labs, he was saying, because you don't get funding from them. And that shocked me, because he said, you know, you can go with, you know, like the other cancers are very important. He said, I'm not playing that down. He says, but esophageal cancer, 600% increase.
Yeah.
Folks, we really have to pay attention to these statistics, and it's growing. And look at the diets. Look at the dietaries of the children. We're raising another generation of kids that are going to get GERD at a very early age, and he's seeing, not even in the teenage, like 9, 10, 11-year-old kids, he sees them because they have heartburn and different things because they're eating the bad food, like fried foods, and just, you know, their diets are terrible. So,
exactly.
It was really interesting to, I learned a lot about that when he was talking about this, and also from you and that evening at Dana-Farber fundraising event too. But there just has to be more attention. Do you think that you would, I know that you did a wonderful interview. I went up online and I seen your interview with Channel 10, Barbara Morris Silver, and that was really great. Do you plan on getting out more into the community to talk about your foundation and
Absolutely.
The successes that you've had? Because I think that would be a really win-win situation for you.
Absolutely. I agree with you. As I said, we do want to keep costs low. And we don't want to have to pay for anything like that. But yes, we are trying to get some free publicity and get the word out that way, especially before the holidays. You know, get people aware of this. And I know by end of year, people like to make their donations before the end of the year. That's another important aspect. I hate to have it come down to dollars and cents, but it is all about that if we're going to get any kind of change in those statistics that you quoted. I mean, 600% is ridiculous. There, you know, something's going on, as you said. Obesity rates are going up. The food, who knows? Maybe chemicals and foods. I really don't know what's causing all of this, but we do have to change that. We do try to reach out to local news centers. They've got, you know, in New England. And, again, people that are doing their walks are getting free advertising where they live. So we do pretty much cover the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. I mean, that's all free publicity in that sense for the cancer itself to get people aware of it so that they can have discussions. They can look it up.
Right.
So that is very, very important.
That is good. Do you know of any new medical breakthroughs in the last, say, 5-6 years or so in esophageal cancer?
No, and that's heartbreaking to say. I wish I could tell you yes. I mean, I wish I could tell you we just found a cure and I'm all set. But
Right.
Yeah, that would be my favorite situation. But no, nothing's changed. The funding that we actually gave out, the scientist was looking for a connection between curcumin, which is an anti-inflammatory, which also is digestible, and the possibility that that may help. Because really, if you think about it, most cancers in one way or another is associated with some type of inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, the body's attacking something. So we're just trying to think outside the box and try to get a different avenue that no one's thought of yet. So, yeah, unfortunately, I wish I could tell you there is something new, but there isn't yet.
Right. Oh, my God. Before you go, I mean, we have a few more minutes, but I wanted to give out your phone number or information. How can people contact you to either contact you for information or make a donation?
Oh, that's great. Yes. Well, we do have our actual website, which is salgi.org. And our email is salgifoundation@gmail.com. On our webpage, we have all of our information, how to contact us, our telephone number, and those shopping sites that I mentioned.
Okay.
We have a great deal of information, you know, and links where people can hook up to different avenues. We also are on a lot of the social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and a ton of others. Unfortunately, I'm not really up on all of the new technology. That's my daughter's forte, but...
Well, that's great, though.
Going.
I think you're covering some of the three largest, you know, social medias. So
right,
I think
exactly.
You're doing quite well. Yeah, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, so how is she doing? I haven't even mentioned her. She's very, very, I know when you both came in the studio, I think it was last year or the year before we were talking, and she was so committed, such a wonderful young woman. She's still dedicated and still doing this with you.
Yeah, I have to give her many kudos because she just had a child, and she's still working full-time for Salgi. So I don't know how she does it. God bless her. She's young, so that's probably how she gets it all done, but I'm very proud of her. And without her, it would be no Salgi. So, yeah, I've got to give her a lot of credit.
Oh, that's really great. One other question I want to ask is, what is your biggest success? What is your biggest success since your foundations first started? What do you see?
Well, I'd like to say that we funded research, which practically that is very important. That's one of our missions, and we've already achieved it. But I have to say my biggest success is when I hear stories of someone coming up to me and saying, you know, I told my husband about what you said or what I heard or what I read. that you had put out there, and it saved him because they caught his esophageal cancer in stage one. That makes my heart feel very good, because that's what we want to do. We want to get more survival rates out of this than the statistics that we have.
Right.
And, you know, if we can save lives, we can get people active and going and insisting that they get checked, and not just trying to cover it up with pills, not just getting rid of the symptoms, finding what's going on. That's success. That means we're doing something right.
Oh, my God, that's phenomenal. That is really, really great. Yeah,
it
keep
really
going
is.
And keep the fight going, that's for sure.
I have to thank you, Elaine. You've been a great supporter throughout these entire days. I have to thank you for everything you've done.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm committed to this. You know, it affects us, too, as a family. And
right.
And because of this, too, I have not known about esophageal cancer until this tragedy happened, unfortunately. But then we all got the endoscope done and
right.
all those preventional things, you know, that you don't even think about. But maybe we can reach out to other people before that gets to that point of stage four, as
exactly.
you are doing. So I'm here for you, girl. You know that. So anytime
you
want to come on.
It.
And when you have your walk, I want you to come back on again as well and let us know what you're doing, too, from time to time. It's an open door policy. I say that to all my community groups, but you are one of the hardest working organizations that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting and also to interview. So thank you for all your hard work. So
great,
it takes
you.
A lot, that's for sure.
So,
yeah. So anyway, my dear, I'm going to, if you can give out your website one more time, I want to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving, and thanks
Thank
for coming
you.
On. But we're going to wrap up for a little bit because I've got my other things that I have to talk about.
But, okay.
But thank you again for coming. Happy Thanksgiving. And please give
you
out your name, your website again and how people can contact you, Linda. Thanks.
Okay. The website's the best. It's got all our information. It's salgi.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much again, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care. All right,
Bye-bye.
Everybody. So you've got that, and we just have to take a quick break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Bristol Community College will host the Veterans Expo on Saturday, November 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at their Fall River campus. The event will feature veteran organizations such as the Veterans Healthcare Administration and the Veterans Benefit Administration, veterans nonprofit organizations, representatives from BCC's admissions office, and several colleges and universities will also be present. The Veterans Expo is free and open to all veterans and service members in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. For more information, call BCC Veteran Educational Services at 774-357-2227.
Looking for more opportunity? Want to improve your skills? Need a better job? The Literacy Center can help. We have year-round classes for adults in English, computer literacy, and high school equivalency. With the help of teachers and tutors, you can pass your citizenship test, make a resume, or learn how to speak and write better English. Classes held during the day, evening, or on Saturdays. Join the great group of people at the Literacy Center. We serve 500 people a year who want to make a better life. Check out our website, www.theliteracycenter.com, for tutor, training, or class schedules. Don't put it off. We are here to help. The Literacy Center, 80 North Main Street, Attleboro, 508-226-3603. A place to learn, volunteer, and grow. Clean out your closet and share the warmth. Duffy Pool Funeral Home is conducting their second annual coat drive from November 1st through December 16th. Donations of new or gently used coats can be dropped off 7 days a week at Duffy Pool Funeral Home's Winter Coat Bin, located at 20 Peck Street in Attleboro. All donated winter coats will be given out at the St. Joseph's Food Cellar the week of December 20th through the 30th to families in need this winter.
morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone who is listening. I know everybody is hustling and bustling today, and in studio I have Jim Jones. And actually, Jim Corbin is actually taking a much-needed break, so I want to wish him and his family a happy Thanksgiving. So good morning, Jim.
Hi, Elaine.
God, it's so great to see you.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. We're getting ready to do the big football game.
That's right.
Yes.
My God. So who do you root for?
Oh, Attleboro, of course.
See, I am torn because 20 years I lived in North Attleboro, and my kids went to North and Bishop Feehan. Mm-hmm. So I've got North and Bishop Feehan, now I'm living in Attleboro. Yeah. So
it's okay. We won't hold it against you.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. So we're talking with Linda in the first half. That was really interesting, and I learned a lot. And every time I interview someone like her in the community and different organizations, I just think that it's just so enlightening. But and Thanksgiving is a big thing because as a little kid, I remember you getting all excited because there were so many more days till Christmas, and it didn't seem like it was like Christmas, come on,
right.
You know. But do you have any family Thanksgiving traditions that you could talk to us about? Or
not really.
No, do you go? Does your wife make Thanksgiving dinner, or do you go over in-laws? Or
well, typically we're the ones who will host the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We'll prepare the turkey, and because Jess, she has a larger family, we do two Thanksgivings. On Thanksgiving we typically have her family over on Thanksgiving, and then typically on the weekend we'll have my family over, because they have their families too,
right?
Their spouses all have their family, so they typically go to their spouse's family, and then we'll just get together on Saturday night. And
yeah, that's a great idea. I know we do similar things where you go here, you go there, and then Christmas time it changes around, and it's just really, it's a really great time. It kicks off the season, I think, of being in the spirit of Thanksgiving and Christmas spirit, and it's just really great. And I have so many great memories of Thanksgiving, and my mother had a big family. I think there were 10 children. So it's like Thanksgiving comes, and it's like we have our dinner, but then we have to go over to my grandmother's, who speaks Polish, who doesn't understand a word of English.
Okay.
And I do know some words of Polish, but I couldn't say them on air because they're all swears. But anyway, we had to sit around, and all the kids and all the cousins got together, and we played, and it was just so awesome. And the women were in the kitchen, and the guys were watching football, and it's just like, it was just so an amazing, wonderful time, a tight family, and it was just really a phenomenal time. And then my sisters and I, we used to do these puppet shows, and singing and dancing and, like, sock puppets, because we put, like, we'd take my brother's white socks and we'd put, like, two magic marker holes, for, like, eyes, and then a smiley, or try to have a smiley for, and we would entertain our cousins and our aunts and uncles. And honestly, God, it's amazing that none of us went into acting, because we all get into the healthcare field.
Right. Now, did you hide behind the sofa or the couch?
And we would do that.
Love seat.
Yeah. And of course, they could see our heads because we're, of course, me, I'm low to the ground anyway. But we would do these things and entertain. We would entertain each other, but we would entertain the aunts and uncles. When I look back on that, I said, I got to say, at least one funny memory of Thanksgiving. And but my mother could not make gravy.
No.
Oh, my God.
Was it too lumpy?
Yeah. I grew up with flour tasting gravy. And it wasn't until I got married that I actually learned, because my mother-in-law showed me how to do the cornstarch and wait till, it's a perfect temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the cornstarch. Now I'm an expert. I can make gravy for anybody. I'll make it for my sister. I'll make it for, I can make gravy now. But my mother, I never knew that gravy didn't have lumps in it or tasted like flour till, I was, 21, 22. Because it was that's how she always made it, and she couldn't. But then, I think it's a lot of the Polish tradition, too. We always had a cabbage dish, and we had the turkey, but then we also had to have, the kielbasa from Central Falls with the carrots and the onions and the You know, I was eating healthy as a kid and I didn't even know it. And then growing up and everything, it's like, wow, I was eating all this good food, you know, and I didn't even know that she exposed us all to this, you know. She tried liver on us once. She said it was a new kind of steak. I said, no, it is not. I got the wrapper and I was selling it. Look, it's liver. Yeah, I got grounded for that too. I thought my name was Elaine, you're grounded till the age of 15 because that's it, you know. My mother ran a tight ship with five kids, but it was fun. I mean, looking back on the memories, I kind of laugh about the times. Like, my job, she would say, we had certain jobs. Like, my sister Diane would set the table. Mm-hmm. You know, my other sister would do this. I had to open up all the cans of vegetables and stuff. So, like, from corn and peas and green beans. We had all these vegetables, but then it was, like, cranberry sauce. And then it was black olives. Mm-hmm. I have a scar here because I stuck my finger. I couldn't wait for the thing to finish opening.
And okay.
I cut my finger, my thumb. Yeah. Nobody ate those olives that year. I don't know why. The blood was dripping into the can. It was not a pretty sight. Mm. But I have a scar to show you that. But anyway, I digress.
Can keep those olives right over there.
Yeah, but I still like black olives. I do. I don't. I wait now. I'm an adult now. They tell me I'm an adult. I don't know. What's the best part of Thanksgiving, like after everybody goes home and you have those wonderful leftovers, and then the next day, do you
turkey sandwiches?
Yeah. Yes.
And but you got to turn it into like a turkey salad sandwich.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because just shredding the turkey and putting it on a sandwich, that's not really fun.
You
take the turkey, you cut it up. Mix it with some mayonnaise, you know, to make a turkey salad. Then you take the stuffing, layer of stuffing, then some cranberry sauce with some toasted bread. Because if you don't toast it, the cranberry sauce just like soaks into the bread. It's like a dough and you don't like that. But, you know, you make two sandwiches for that the next day. And then there's typically not too much turkey left from the turkey, from the meal. So
yeah, you get... I know.
So you can't really make a turkey soup, you know, because you got to save it for turkey sandwiches.
Right, yeah. My girlfriend, when you asked me over for turkey, you know, Thanksgiving, because my kids go into the in-laws, mm-hmm. and then Christmas we all get together and that. So I said, yeah, I'll come over. So I went over there, and she had a 12 or 14-pound turkey. So, of course, I did the gravy.
Sure.
And... But she invited like 20 people, and there was like, you know, you pass it like it's a nice, beautiful carving, and then you pass the turkey around, and by the time it gets back to you, right. It's like, wait a minute,
scraps.
There's only a wait a minute, where's everything, you know? But that year I didn't have any turkey left over, and I had to make my own. This year I'm actually going to do a test turkey.
Okay,
I'm going to do a turkey in a new roasting pan. We're going to see how that works. I don't know.
So now why do you have to do a test turkey?
Well, because it's a new pan and I don't want to mess it
up. Okay, all right, gotcha.
So I'm going to get a very small one and I'm going to do it before Thanksgiving. A baby one just to test it out and see if I can do it. And then I'll do the real one on Thanksgiving for sure. I feel confident that I can do it, but I'm not sure because the pans are different.
What is your typical size of turkey that you'll...
About 14 pounds, 15, 16 pounder.
Okay.
Because I do all the turkey stuff, and I do the turkey soup, and I like the hot turkey sandwiches with the gravy and the turkey and shredded. But I'm going to try that turkey sandwich with the mayo and everything. I like turkey sandwich, but I always put the mayo on the bread. But the way that you do it, I think I like that better.
Because you know, like you have chicken salad from like Willow Tree?
Yeah.
It's the same consistency. You're just using the turkey.
There's nothing like it, especially when it's roasting in the oven all those hours, you know, and it fills the whole house.
Now, with a 14-pounder, how many people do you have come over?
Not many.
Okay.
Not many. No, this year, because the kids, generally I'd go over my son's in-laws, but I've noticed some friends, mother had passed away, so I'm going to do it for like my single friends. I said, come on over. So there's about four of us that are going to sit down, very quiet.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah. We usually have about 15.
Yeah.
At the house. So you have to have like a 25-pound turkey.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah. But I want enough so everybody, and I bought these containers, so everybody's going home with everything.
Nice.
The turkey, the gravy, the stuffing, the potatoes and everything. And you always have to have sweet potatoes because that's my dad. He always said that. And so I do that too. So, but there will be no Polish food at my Thanksgiving.
No charisse. No.
Although I did make gwomkis, the stuffed rolls, cabbage rolls with a hamburger and rice. And I went to Krakow Deli. Because I walked down and I wanted some pierogies and I thought maybe they would have it. And they go, yeah, we have some. But they were like $8 or something like that. And I'm going, oh my gosh. And then I walked over. I said, oh, you have gwomkis? He said, yeah. I said, I looked at him. I go, wait a minute. I said, you know, I said, I think I can make these better. He looked at me. He goes, really? I go, yeah, I've been making it with my mom, I said, for like 20 years. And he said, really? He said,
yeah, well, keep your glumpies.
So he said to me, and I swear to God, this happened like last week. He said, here, take mine. I'll give you a sample of mine. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, I'll tell you what. I'll make mine, and I'll give you a sample of mine. So I took his bland.
Yeah.
I made mine 2 days later. Mm-hmm. And I walk in. He looks up. He goes, he's like, and I have it in my Ziploc bag. I go, here you go. I said, I think you'll find mine better. Mm. And he said, well, we all have our flavors of our mothers in these. And I said, that's right. I said, but I'll be back in a week and you tell me what you think. And he said, okay. But he was shocked that I came back. But
and so now Elaine LaRoche is the new vendor of Krakow Deli.
I might be. I might. Hey, listen, when I retire, I need another job. I might be working in the back. But he's got such a great setup there. Mm. And it's everything Polish. And he's got shirts and aprons and all that stuff. It's like, oh, my God, this is so cool. This is really great. Mm. But whatever everybody's traditions are, it's just really great. It's a great time for Thanksgiving, and I'm so glad to be in it. I'm not happy that we started the Christmas season a little bit early, like before Thanksgiving. I'm seeing decorations, and that's another story we could do. At work, I put all my fall stuff out right now, and it'll stay there till December 1st. And then December 1st, all the fall stuff will go away, and then I'll put the holiday stuff out.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Do it. Yeah. Well,
I got a good story after.
Oh,
after
okay. We
come back.
We're going to take a break?
Yes.
All right. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
The Attleboro Lodge of Elks is holding their annual Hoop Shoot on Sunday, November 20th at Studley Elementary School in Attleboro. The Hoop Shoot is a free throw shooting contest for boys and girls ages 8 to 13. The contest begins at 9:30 a.m. with 8 to 9-year-olds. Winners in each age group will advance to the district championships. Registration will take place a half hour before the scheduled age group start times. Birth certificates must be presented at registration. Call the Elks at 508-222-5502 for more information. Falls AC, 8 Stack Road in North Attleboro, supports high school sports in our community at every level. Opened in 1983, owner Angelo Cavalieri is proud of their 33 years of service to the Attleboros. Falls AC is open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. They have lunch and dinner daily, banquet rooms for your meeting or get-together, and dart leagues. The entire staff at Falls AC wishes the high school athletes the best of luck in every game. Falls AC, 8 Stack Road, North Attleboro, 508-695-2688. The Bristol Community College One Book Committee will welcome former astronaut Dr. Al Sacco Jr. to speak about his own adventure into space. Dr. Sacco traveled into space on a 16-day mission aboard the Space Shuttle Columbia in 1995. Dr. Sacco's talk takes place on Monday, November 21st from 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. in the Jackson Arts Center Theater at the BCC Fall River campus. The event is free and open to the public. Don't miss this great opportunity to learn more about space.
Jim Jones, thank you for putting in my theme song because it gets me going every single Saturday morning. So I appreciate you coming in this early to do my show. And Oh, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, too. Right. So you were saying before the break that you have a story to share.
Yeah, so the guys freak out around here, and all my friends and Facebook friends, but as soon as Halloween's done, Christmas decorations come out.
No.
Yes. Ugh. Yes. We've got, you know, we've got the creche. We've got direct decorations outside. We have everything. Most people will wait till Thanksgiving.
I would think so.
It's over. So my Christmas tree is already up. It goes up the day after after Halloween.
Oh, my.
You get the decorations up. And so the one Christmas tree is downstairs, and the second Christmas tree is up in the great room.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
I know. Yeah. I know some people, too. I like the Halloween decorations. They're new to me. Generally, you know, you just put out stuff, you know, like little pumpkins or whatever. But now it's like a great big thing. Some of the things on Facebook, they have like a garage painted black with teeth when it goes up and down.
Right.
And, or music with the lights and the scary sounds and everything. It's like, oh, my God, it's unbelievable. But it's really grown into this cottage industry of being haunted and scared out of your mind. Do you like going into like these haunted houses? Or when you were a kid, did you like getting scared or horror movies and
Not
stuff?
Not at all. No.
Yeah,
no.
I know. That's why I like you. Yeah, me
no.
either. Yeah, those things there are just really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad. It just, ugh. And I read them, you know, every week on the show, you know, what's happening, what's going on, the haunting happenings and different things like that. And
right.
It's all good. But, man, it just scares the heck out of me to be scared in that. I went on a haunted hayride once, and it wasn't too bad because they were little kids, so I had to be brave. But I still got scared out of my mind.
Right.
And I mean, there are some films that I see even that have, like, a violent scene, like anything Quentin Tarantino does. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. It stays with me for weeks. But but I have to say that for the most part, I like a gentler Halloween. At work, we dress up. Do you guys have, like, will you dress up on Halloween?
No.
No, I'm asking because a lot of us do. We have, well, we don't have to, but our culture is software technology, you know,
right.
Young and vibrant, and kids are creative and everybody. So, yeah, today, I mean, what we've done in the past is we've had to dress up as nerds.
Mm-hmm.
That was one week. We had to dress up. We were going to dress up as clowns, but then the clown outbreak,
okay.
So we couldn't do clowns. So we actually had to do Spider Day. So I didn't do Spider, even though they wanted to paint my face as a spider. I go, no, it's okay. I'll take your picture.
Yeah.
But we are doing Witches and Warlock, and we've done that and in the past. And they really get into it. They really do. So the next big thing for Thanksgiving is, let's see, we had our football party. We had a touchdown, what is it? They call it the tailgate party on November 8th. That was a few weeks back. And we mm-hmm. had Ronnie Lopetta, the New England Patriots, come down. And we had Spike's hot dog vendor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I haven't had one of them in a long time. And, But they stopped in the back. And, we had a tailgate party. And Ronnie signed autographs for everybody that wanted them, and we had a really great time. So now everybody's kind of like, with a few more days, a lot of people aren't even at work next week because mm-hmm. this is Saturday, and we've got just 3 days for Thanksgiving.
Right.
So a lot of the kids have off, you know, Wednesday before, so people are quote-unquote working from home.
Right.
What is that, working from home? Now, working from home for me is like, you know, you're at a computer, you're in a desk, you're all by yourself. Heck no. I'm hearing people when I'm talking to them with a go-to meeting, they mm-hmm. call them.
Right.
Dogs are barking, kids are yelling, you know, mommy, it's time to go swimming. You know, I'm hearing that. It's mm-hmm. like in the summer, I'm like, what are you talking about working from home? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people are. And,
yeah,
and
my wife has a section of the house that is just her office.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is my wife drops them off at school.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll go off to work. And then she'll pick them up at 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she comes back at 2, she'll be, she picks them up, brings them home. And then from 2, about 3 o'clock, to 5:30, she'll work in the office.
That's great.
Taking phone calls,
yep.
You know, doing, you know, payroll and all that.
See, that's important. Stuff. That's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way to do it because then you have a designated place. But most of them, like, and they'll tell me, oh, yeah, I'm sitting at the kitchen table, the kids are home. Going, what?
Right.
But that's good. I mean, if they have the type of job like that.
Right. And she's in a completely separate section of the house. So you don't hear the kids. You don't hear the dogs. They're they're over there doing that.
Yeah, when you're Skyping your boss.
Right, right.
You have the kids running around. Mommy, can you open this for me? No, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the holidays are coming. For me, it's like I've already started Christmas shopping. Have you already done some?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, when I say sure, I mean my wife has started doing it. I'm usually out New Year's Eve. Not New Year's, Christmas Eve. Getting the present. Because here's the problem. If I bring the present home and I wrap it, there's a guilt trip that comes that says, oh, I want my present now. Ooh. And I'm like, no, wait till Christmas. Oh, but it's sitting right there. Come on, let me have it. No. So I've learned that it's easier to delay when you get the present.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So that the, you know, the guilt of let me open it now is only like one day instead of 30.
That's a good idea.
Right.
Yeah, I bought a lot of different things. I was very creative this year, and I've started back in August. August. Only because I just figured, you know, I have, you know, the grand kittens, and I always buy the families something. So I found like gift subscriptions to magazines that the kids would enjoy, like Highlight Magazine.
Right.
And there's a National Geographic for kids that I get my granddaughters. My grandsons are older, so they like Sports Illustrated, except for the swimsuit edition where it disappears. Because I said to Kelly, my daughter, I said, does Maxwell even know that he's got? And she said, nope. Doesn't even know. It doesn't even hit the house. And she said, as soon as I get the mail, goes right in the trash.
Right.
He never sees it. And I said, all right, that's good. I said, kind of worried about that, you know, and she started laughing.
That's funny.
But, yeah. And then I get the kids movie tickets. I get all family packs, and this way they can all enjoy a family night at the movies and that. So I find meaningful things are better than just stuff. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to get toys because toys, you know, that's the parents' thing.
Right.
The first Wednesday of every month at Indigo Pizza in Coventry, my grandson is in a rock band, and he's been playing since he was six or seven, and he's getting very, very good. So I go down there, and the kids play and everything. So they're going to have the jazz band there after Thanksgiving to play that December. Then I think they take a break. but it's really interesting to see how your children and your grandkids change over the years, like just a dramatic difference, you know. It's just really amazing. I have a picture of them mimicking one Halloween. They dressed up as Bono and I guess one of the other singers with him. I don't know.
Okay, I don't know either.
Yeah. But anyway, so Nathan had his little hat on, his big yellow glasses, you know, and he does the pose with the microphone. And I have that, and they had to have been like maybe 8 and 6. It is the cutest thing. Well, a friend of mine was up in Boston at a convention, and it was a scientific convention of medical, the medical industry, and his company is in medical research. So he texts me. He said, Elaine, you're not going to believe this. He said, but Bono is here. Do you want an autograph?
That's awesome.
I said, yes, of course I do. So he put to the jazz lady, Bono, and I'm going,
that's
so
awesome.
I put that autograph, that little autograph, inside a frame with the boys, and it's like, oh my God, that is too funny. I said they would have died, you know. But it's just really, I mean, I see the boys develop and grow. Now they're teenagers, and I don't get a chance to spend as much time. We used to do every week. I'd go down there, take them out to lunch. We'd do fun things. We'd go to lunch. We'd go to the store. They had a $20 limit. And as they got older, then it was like 25, 30. I go, no. I said, no.
You're going to kick in some of your money here.
I did. I said to them, no, you've got to learn the value of money. I said, if you want this toy, I said, then you've got to wash my car. So they both did. They did. I swear,
awesome.
I did that. I said to them, you got to wash my car. And it was in the summertime. They go, okay. So I let them have their thing. They get back to the house. One of them runs in the house. I go, where do you think you're going? So I went in and I said, hey. I said, you're going to wash the car, right? He goes, oh, I thought you were kidding. I go, no, I'm not. I said,
oh, wow.
I'll show you how to do it. So my daughter said, what are you doing? I said, I'm teaching them a lesson, the value of money. So I did. They washed the car, and they had fun, but they were like, what is going on? But it's all about that sort of thing, I think, trying to teach your kids and your grandkids life lessons, mm-hmm. I think. I call them the toolbox of life, giving them the tools that they need to survive. I know I have twin sons, too, and they had to do their laundry, and I showed them how to iron. So when they got to college, mm-hmm. one of them called me up and said, "Mom, I could make a lot of money because I'm the only one here in the dorm that knows how to iron." You know, all the time I complained and said that, you know, that I didn't want to do it. Thanks, thanks. Mm-hmm. And you're going. But, yeah, so, I mean, you have that to look forward
right.
to when they're like, whatever, college age. You have mm-hmm. all those wonderful years ahead of
right.
you. You have adolescence. Mm-hmm. And adolescence is like one day that sweet little children of yours of today come down to the table and there's an alien there at 13 or 14.
Wow.
And this alien doesn't look the same, doesn't act the same, doesn't talk the same. And you suddenly become, I know better than you mm-hmm. until they're in college. And then the role reversals happens. But up until that time, at 13 or 20, it's like, I remember my daughter coming down and go, "Who are you?" I said, "I want my sweet little girl back." And, oh, my God, everything was just so traumatic.
Mm.
So may you not go through that, but I'm just telling you, aliens will visit your house. And having twin mm-hmm. aliens in the house
right.
playing one against the other, trying to wear me down for curfew extensions and all that stuff, it was exhausting.
Yeah.
Exhausting. But they all survive their adolescence, and I tell them that too. I say, you know, you did survive your adolescence, you know, mm-hmm. and it was all good. But family time is a time, you know, to think about these wonderful things, and Thanksgiving memories that you create, you know, throughout the years will be with your children forever. They mm-hmm. do. And I think that, you know, it's just really great to start those new traditions, like you were saying, trying to do the Christmas carol. I would mm-hmm. love to be able to start that. But they're more into dance
right.
and they want a ballet and they want to do all these other fun things, mm-hmm. I guess. But I think that if we can give the best gift that we can do for Christmas is a gift of ourselves. And, mm-hmm. and I believe that. So I try to instill that on my children and my grandkittens. So, yeah.
Great.
But Thanksgiving is coming up,
yeah.
so we want to wish everybody a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving. I want to thank our listeners for listening to us today. Jim, thank you for coming
You're
on.
You're welcome.
I really do appreciate you running the board. And Linda Salshi, thank you so very much. And I want to wish the family of Jim Corbin and Mike Catanzara a very, very happy Thanksgiving. And from all of us here at WARA 1320, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And we'll be right back next week with a brand new show.